I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program today, we're going to talk to Jonathan Codner and Stephanie Stokes of the Codner Gallery about the exhibition Modernism, Art and Design, which features the work of artists including Picasso, Dali, and Lichtenstein. And from Grumpy Cat to Kitty with Watermelon, cat videos seem to dominate the internet, and the Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis is hosting the Internet Cat Video Festival this weekend. But before we get to that, please welcome cast members from Stages St. Louis's production of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Betsy DeLelio, Heather Ayers, and Ben Nordstrom. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
And how do you feel about cat videos? Any thoughts?
Can't get enough of them.
I like the one where he jumps up into the ceiling fan. Have you seen that one?
There was one where they let cats loose in an IKEA store after hours and videoed it. It was brilliant.
Grumpy Cat is like a major cash cow now.
We did a segment on this program not too long ago.
That's hot news.
Yeah,
man.
Well.
What's the one where he plays the piano, too?
Oh, that's the keyboard cat.
Keyboard cat, yeah.
Do you know, I looked that up, and it has something like 38 million hits.
Yeah.
Wow. Heather, you seem to be very well versed in the cat video.
Maybe you need to stay for the next segment as well.
Yeah. And they can stand on their back legs. That's really fun too.
Well, let's get to business here. As tempting as it is to keep going. Shepard Mead was a fellow that was born in St. Louis in 1914. He attended Washington University. Then he left for a corporate career in New York. He wrote a book that became a Broadway musical, then a movie. It's been in some revivals as well on Broadway. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. It opens tonight at Stages St. Louis. So what do you know, if anything, about this fella, Shepard Mead? And he pretty much wrote, it was based on his own experience in corporate America, was it not?
I think it was, yeah. I don't know a lot about Shepard Mead, Stephen, but I read the book, and the book is very funny, very satirical, sending up all of the stereotypes of big business and male-female relationships of the time. And it's a very funny book. And I guess the creators of the show, of the musical, actually originally wanted to make a play based on the book. And they were having trouble, I think, getting it together for Broadway. So they decided to turn it into a musical. And they pitched it to this guy, Frank Lesser, who had just had a success with Guys and Dolls.
Right.
And I guess he turned it down initially, but they eventually got him on board, and he wrote the music, and it became this big, fancy musical.
Well, tell us a little bit about your characters. And Betsy, let's start with you.
So I play Rosemary Pilkington, who is, I'd say, the female version of Finch, the character that Ben plays. I say female. She's the leading lady. She's the ingenue. She's the romantic lead. But considering the time period, she's extremely eager and a go-getter in terms of going after Finch. So she's got the same kind of drive to succeed with him that he has to succeed in the business world. So even though she's an ingenue and a romantic lead, I think she's very spunky and she's got a little edge, and she's extremely ambitious when it comes to landing her Finch.
Heather?
I play Hetty LaRue. She has recently left her permanent job, which is head cigarette girl at the Copa. and she wants out. She wants more. She's ambitious. And she has befriended J.B. Bigley, played by the amazing Whit Reichert. And he's the boss of the company that Finch approaches, and she's just going to use him to get what she wants.
Well, when you say Finch, you're talking about J. Pierpont Finch. Ben, which is your character?
Yeah. So Finch is sort of the hero of the story. He starts out as a window washer, and he discovers this book called How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And he just simply reads the book and follows the steps step by step and charms his way, I guess, to the top of the company.
Well, let's sample some of the music. This, we do have recordings from the 1995 revival, and this is How to Succeed.
How to apply for a job. How to advance from the mailroom. How to sit down at a desk. How to dictate memorandums. How to develop executive style. How to commute in a three-button suit with that weary executive smile. This book is all that I need. How to succeed.
lunch with,
how to
avoid petty friends,
how to
begin making contacts,
how to walk into a conference room.
How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying opens tonight. Stages St. Louis at the Robert Ream Theater in Kirkwood and runs through August the 10th. Cast members Betsy DeLelio, Heather Ayers, and Ben Nordstrom are with us today. And corporate America, I guess, set in the is it set in the 1960s?
Yes. I think it's hard to pull it out of the 60s in terms of the look and the music and
the way that they treat women.
Very specifically.
Which is funny, actually. I mean, it's they're sort of mocking the fact that they treated women like that back then, but we're not certainly not shying away from it.
How can you all relate to that? No, I mean, you're not from that generation.
Right.
Well, so. I went to a women's college, Stevens, in Columbia, Missouri. So we had basically no boys. And I definitely went through a hardcore feminist phase when I left. And then I kind of, you know, found my even keel after I, you know, was out in the real world. But that whole thing of like, I can open my own door, you know, like chivalry and all of that, yeah. And just finding the balance.
Well, yeah. I grew up in a big family with no sisters, so I was the last of six. So I had five older brothers and then me. So I definitely grew up saying, I can do anything you can do. I can do any. I'm a girl, but I can do all of these things. And so it made me a huge tomboy when I was a kid.
Well, you know, times have changed. So I'm just wondering how that holds up after all these years. And it evidently does.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all just laugh at it.
Yeah.
We're playing the stereotypes.
And we are playing stereotypes. And again, it's just a well-written show. So it's very smart and very funny. So it's just well done. So
it tells the story of J. Pierpont Finch. How does it begin? Where does he begin in this?
He literally begins washing windows high in the air on his window washing unit on the side of a building. And he reads the book and decides he's going to do this. And
That's interesting because Shepard Mead, the author from St. Louis, when he first went to New York, he had some low-level job. It wasn't window washing, but I think it was a copy boy or something, yeah. And worked his way up to vice president of a big company.
Yeah. And it's what's so funny about it is those office politics really do exist, and this the lightning speed with which Finch, you know, moves through that and navigates that is what's so funny about it.
And Betsy, you said your character is Rosemary.
Yes.
And you said something earlier about that she kind of goes after Finch. What do you mean, business-wise or personally?
Personally, yes. But she goes after him with the same zeal which he goes after his
success. She's romantically interested in him. And
yes.
Are they?
Very much so.
Are they work for the same company? Or what's the relationship?
She's a secretary at the company where he begins and moves up the ladder. And she even moves up the ladder a bit as well. She becomes secretary to the advertising manager, which leads her to a same social gathering that Finch is at. And so she uses the chance to kind of wow him a bit once she's seen how Hetty has wowed him with her feminine wiles.
So you're both after Pierpont.
I'm after anyone Hetty's that can get me up the ladder.
Yeah, exactly. Hetty's after whoever's right there. So Finch sort of has this tunnel vision, laser focus on just rising up. He's nice and he's likes Rosemary fine, but she's sort of an afterthought for much of the play. So he's just focused on that, while Rosemary is very focused on, determined on snagging Finch.
Talk about Brotherhood of Man.
Oh, that's like one of the best numbers in the show.
11 o'clock number.
Yeah, it's the big 11 o'clock number. Huge bunch of businessmen dancing around. What could be better than that? It's sort of where everything's sort of hanging in the balance for Finch and the company, and it's Finch's last pitch to kind of get everybody together and rally the troops, and it's just a great, awesome number.
Now, wait a minute, Wally. Before you go making any hasty decisions, I'd like to say a few words.
About what?
Humanity. You see, even though we're all part of the cold corporate setup, deep down underneath our skins, there is flesh and blood. We're brothers.
Some of us are uncles.
Now you may join the Elks, my friend, and I may join the Shriners. And other men may carry cards as members of the Diners. Still others wear a golden key or small Greek letter pin. But I have learned there's one
great club that all of us are in. There is a brotherhood of man, a benevolent brotherhood of man, a noble tie that binds all human hearts and minds into one brotherhood of man. Your lifelong membership is free. Keep giving each brother all you can. Oh, aren't you proud to be in that fraternity, that great big brotherhood of man? So, Ollie,
how to succeed in business without really trying opens tonight at Stages St. Louis. I want to correct a couple things that I said. It's at the Robert Rhyme Theater. I mispronounced that, and I know it. And I also said it runs through August the 10th, but that's incorrect also. It runs through August the 17th.
Yes.
So have I made any other mistakes so far?
No.
No, you've been
all
amazing.
Does J. Pierpont Finch make mistakes in the corporate world?
I guess he kind of makes one big mistake in the second act. We got to have a story. We got to have conflict, Steve. So he makes one big old mistake in the second act, and oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Is he going to make it out? And that's sort of the conflict there later in the show.
Well, you know, I've never seen the show produced, and if I saw the movie, when did it come out, in the 60s?
The movie was 67.
Yeah, if I saw it, it was probably back then, and I don't remember it. So tell me about the journey that this guy is on. He's climbing the corporate ladder. Is that what it's all about, his rise to the top?
Yeah, it really is. That's basically it. And all these kind of sort of landmines and things, pitfalls to watch out for on his way up. And many of those involve other characters in the show.
Speaking of characters, yeah. Heather and Betsy, why don't you jump in and talk a little bit about some of the supporting characters you think are interesting.
Oh my God. Well, so we have an actor named Joe Medeiros who's playing Bud Frump, who is I would say, Finch's nemesis in the play. And you know how sometimes the villains get the biggest applause at curtain call. I have a feeling he's going to be in that situation.
He's hilarious.
He's the best bad guy. From a role that's somewhat vaguely written, he really grabs it and just bites right through this role. So it's great to see him do that.
He's sort of the bratty, the boss's nephew.
The boss's nephew.
Bad guy.
And maybe you want to
talk
about...
Smitty is one of my favorites, actually. Mm-hmm. Played by Claire.
Claire Newman.
And I feel like she's going places.
Smitty is Rosemary's best friend, her confidant. She's sort of the ear, but she's the wiser of the two. Rosemary has on her colored glasses about Finch, but Smitty's kind of seen it all and done it all, we think.
And she's got some great songs. This girl, Claire, has a spectacular voice.
Mm-hmm. And Jamalia sings The Brotherhood of Man, does some amazing scatting.
Jamalia Adelikhan, who is...
The song we just heard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is Mr. Bigley's secretary, so she's the big boss's secretary, and she comes in and really tears it up truly at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and you don't know, it takes you the whole beginning of the show to be like, oh, she was sitting there the whole time with all this knowledge and talent. Mm-hmm. And you just didn't know.
So it's an awesome all-around cast, very, very funny group of people.
And from what I understand, what I've been told, the set is technically interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing what they're able to cram in that tiny theater. Somebody in the office was telling me the other day, if you saw Legally Blonde at Stages last year, there were a ton of lights
right. All
over the set. And you think of Legally Blonde as a big, crazy light show. Well, this actually has, a thousand more LEDs than Legally Blonde or something crazy like that. We have more LEDs on the set in this show than we did last year.
But it's so vibrant. It's just beautiful. And as you said, completely locally produced.
Yeah.
Almost entirely locally produced.
Yeah, the set is completely built here, and the costumes are designed and built here. And, you know, these aren't things that are rented or brought in from some other company. But again, the set just sort of goes crazy with vibrancy. And
the costumes are so colorful. Well, the girls are colorful.
Well, that 60s style is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fashion style.
And this show
is sort of
a broad, bold, if you picture the Mad Men era, but this is sort of a heightened, more colorful, bolder version of that.
What's your favorite scene?
Oh, gosh. Well, right now, it's we were talking about this at yesterday. Mm-hmm. It changes every day. Right now, it's actually the end of the first act, near the end of the first act, mm-hmm. When Finch realizes he's in love with Rosemary.
Not to give anything away.
And the song is called Rosemary, and it's just, it's so over the top, and it's so fun to play that I hope the audience, you know, has as much fun watching it as we have doing it.
Heather? Oh, my. Every time I step out there, I love it.
Heather and Wit together, J.B. Bigley and Heather as his mistress, Hedy LaRue, are hilarious.
Brilliant.
Like, comedy gold.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And where does the company way fit into this?
The company way is earlier in the show. So Finch, his first job in the company is in the mailroom, and he meets Mr. Twimble, who is head of the mailroom. So Mr. Twimble in the song Company Way is sort of teaching Finch his philosophy on keeping your head down and staying out of trouble.
Well, Twimble, who's going to be the new head of the mailroom?
Well, Mr. Pratt, I've given it a good deal of thought, pro and con. I think your man is young Finch.
Congratulations, Finch.
Thanks, but I can't accept.
Are you turning this job down?
That's right, Mr. Pratt. I think there is a man here who is better qualified. Gentlemen, I recommend Bud Frump.
I know what you all must think of me, but from now on, I'll play it the company way. Wherever the company puts me there, I'll stay.
Whatever the company tells him that he'll do.
Whatever my uncle may think, I think so too.
Oh, he's beaming with company pride.
I've conquered that over-ambitious rat inside.
Old Bud is no longer the frump he used to be.
I pledge to the company's sweet conformity.
Hooray, hooray!
I will someday.
I think that's something most people can relate to, right? Doing it the company way. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying opens tonight, runs through August the 17th at the Robert Rhyme Theater in Kirkwood. If you'd like ticket information and more, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to Stage of St. Louis's website. Do we learn anything about corporate America? I mean, I know it's a comedy. But is there something we learn from this? Well, or is there an insight about the corporate world?
You know what I find so interesting is we're watching the show through Finch's vision and all the sides that he has. But it's great to me that it's set in a time period where he gets away with things that maybe now...
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that definitely now no one would get away with.
Yeah, this is before conniving. Human HR departments.
Before people were maybe quite as savvy. So to me, it's like we were saying, gender roles, and it's so specific about maybe what it once used to be like to truly climb the ladder and start in the mailroom and work your way all the way up to the top.
Right. I don't know how much we learn. I don't know how much the characters change by the end. It's just a big just come and laugh and enjoy the comedy and the music.
What's next for you, Ben?
For me, I'm gonna go and do Cotton Patch Gospel. It's a one man show out at Arrow Rock Lyceum Theater in September, and then also on September 13th, I'm doing a benefit cabaret for the New Jewish Theater.
Heather, a little bit of trivia. You got hooked on theater when I guess you were really young and you went to the Fox.
Exactly. My grandma lived here. My aunt and uncle, Margie and Chuck Allier, still live here. And so the Fox was a huge part of my upbringing, and I saw Annie there and wanted to be an actress.
Mm-hmm. Anything next for you guys?
Go ahead, Heather.
Nothing.
Okay. You go to the Fox.
The life of an actor.
I have some concerts coming up. I sing with it's called an opera band, and they're called Bravo Amici, based out of London.
So. That's Betsy DeLelio. We've also been talking to Heather Ayers and Ben Nordstrom, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying at Stages through August 17th. Thank you all for being here. Break a leg tonight.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, cat videos at CAM. This is St. Louis Public Radio.